Startup Stimmen, der Podcast für Gründungsinteressierte vom Reach Euregio Startup Center. Welcome to today's podcast episode of the Reach Podcast Startup Stimmen. In this podcast episode, my guest is Michael Schäfer. Welcome to our podcast session here at Slushed, live in our studio on campus. I would ask you to introduce yourself personally to our audience. Who are you? What are you doing? Why are you here today at Slushed?
Well, the last question is, why am I here? I'm here as president of the European Innovation Council, and we will deal with that more longer afterwards. My background, I'm 59. I have a PhD in geography. I studied regional innovation systems, mainly in textiles and clothing. So I have a professional background in textiles, polymers, ICT and clothing, mainly managing projects. And I have, for a long period of time, written proposals. So writing proposals for clients. We are here now in Twente, in the east of the Netherlands, and most of my clients were in the east of the Netherlands. So this is also a bit my home region. And 10 years ago, I was elected in a regional parliament, and also I was also a regional minister. So I have also, let's say, an academic, a business, and a political background. And that, I think, qualified me to become president of the European Innovation Council.
Very interesting combination. Thank you very much, and thanks for being here today. I would like to start with our traditional entry question.
Go on.
Who or what inspires you personally the most?
And my daughters.
Oh, that was short and precise.
And the future of my daughters. I mean, will my daughters and maybe their children live on livable planet?
And how do you?
Yeah, and a livable planet means, I think, the biggest challenge is to have a climate neutral planet where we basically are able to have a modern lifestyle, but in balance with what the Earth can give. And that is a huge technological challenge. Not only in inventing new things, but mainly in scaling up things that have been developed here in universities and that require substantial capital, substantial money to get to the market.
Cool. And how does your work at the European Innovation Council contribute to this big goal you have in mind?
Yeah, well, I present in the presentation this afternoon, there's the famous Valley of Death. Mm-hmm. So universities develop interesting things. And then, yeah, to scale up, it's a bit very dangerous stage where you need substantial people, money, access to the market. And already for a long time, in all my activities, I identified that as a real issue. However, whether it's with big companies' money or with public money through universities or public money through loans and equity, I will come back on that. Mm-hmm. How can we provide the financial conditions that technology scale up to really become solutions for the planet? Because too much stays here, and too long we have thought that, well, if we only fund an invention, the market will pick it up by itself, and the market is not picking up by itself. So we need to find something, and the EIC does that. We need to find financial mechanisms to provide substantial funds for startups to help to scale up these solutions.
I see. Makes sense. Or early stage startups at Reach also often leave our programs facing the mentioned Valley of Death. So what do you think ecosystems have to provide to the startups to master those valleys? What is the most dangerous factor they have to face, in your opinion?
Well, there are two stages which are not dangerous and that are important. So I'm going to mention those first. First, you need, on a regional level, what the Germans call very well a Gründungskultur, which is not self-standing. It's not. So I think the Netherlands has more Gründungskultur than Germany has.
I would agree, actually.
So that's
sadly.
The first thing. You need the seedbeds, an atmosphere in which maybe you have friends doing easier things, but that you feel, let's say, in an environment where other people have preferred to start a company rather than being a civil servant or working in a big corporation. So that's, let's say, the breathing ground. And the second one is, and that's where universities are essential, the big challenges are highly technological challenges. So you need also an environment in which, and there Germany is better than Netherlands, where engineering, technology, understanding the problems of scale, of the interaction of techniques is appreciated. So let's say an engineering culture. That's the second one, with, let's say, the facilities where you can test out. So clean rooms, expensive laboratory with microscopes. So university cities play a very important role providing the second element, having an environment where people can test things out. And what is also important is, because we are the icing on the cake, you need also local funding instruments where a startup can get 20,000, 50,000, 100,000, 200,000 euros. And that is something that has to come locally. Locally, either from angel investors or from public funds, because we provide the next step. So most of the startups we help are they're not technically startups, they're 5 to 10 years old. So they have an idea, the idea has been tested, they have a pilot or a small demonstrator, and they need millions to really test on a large scale, or they need millions to build a facility to make it on a large scale.
So they're already scale-ups, so
Yeah, so basically we call them startups, but in reality they are scale-ups. But they still have to go through the valley of death. I mean, so with small funding they have become they got down, and now they have to go through the difficult stage of investing sums, and where there's no certainty that the market will pick it up. There's still a substantial technology or market risk.
It stays a roller coaster ride.
Yeah. And on the other hand, why should public funding do that? Because maybe the company will fail, but they fail by having employed 50 people that have learned a lot of things. So often people from those companies that fail start up their own companies, and then you strengthen again this Gründungskultur. So there's nothing wrong in failing. And you can start again, or your people start something. So you need this kind of ecosystem in which starting up, scaling up, failing, succeeding is becoming normal. And therefore, let's say, losing sometimes one company is for the person a drama, maybe the shareholders as well, but for the public, it's okay, but it has contributed to create an ecosystem.
That's an interesting thing you're mentioning. So accepting flaws and even failures is an important thing we could probably all improve in. What do you think, how can we, as part of the ecosystem, support our startups in managing those phases of founding?
But what is very important is that especially first-time starters they never succeed alone. And they should also accept that if they want to succeed, they should be willing to accept outsiders in. So they should accept public funding, but they should accept other private funding. They should accept that they dilute their own sharehold. If they really dream of being rich on their own, they often fail. So they often fail the first time. The second time they discover, yes, I have to do it with others and then I succeed. Then you sell and you have a reasonable capital. And the third time you have enough money and you could do it on your own and you know how the tricks work. And the ecosystem is important in finding, okay, who can I trust? Very important, trust. Mm-hmm. And who is complementary? Who has skills that I don't have? So you must know as a starter, I'm strong on this, I'm weak in that. So I'm going to look for people who are strong, that bring diversity to the skills base. Mm-hmm. That's also important, and that's a bit different in the Netherlands or in Germany, but in Slovenia and in the Netherlands. In Germany, you can still think, okay, Germany is large enough; I can start off with the German market. In the Netherlands, that's risky. I mean, if you're in quantum technology in the Netherlands, forget it. There's no Dutch market for quantum technology. You have to do it European. It's also, let's say, the openness to other countries. And Germany is a bit a difficult one. The Netherlands, well, we have to speak English. So that's also an openness to the world. But I think networking is very important. Be open to others, share, and organize it in a way that you're fast. And so that the sharing should contribute to having quicker solutions because you share it with others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very important in all terms of founding to keep in mind for startups, I think.
Yeah. And what is also important for, I'm sitting here in Enschede, Twente, Münster is...
Yeah, I think 350 or something.
Okay,
yeah.
But take the areas around you. I have also 500,000. That's not huge. Huh? So make choices. So a region should say, okay, critical mass, we will attain that in these and these technologies. And if you're not good in it, well, go somewhere else. They are better. And that's quite some tough for local politicians to say, okay, we're not good in it. Let's not do it. So sometimes you have to make these choices. So Twente has been very good at making very sharp choices.
Mm.
So in photonics, Twente is one of the best places in Europe.
Very
and Dresden, for example, is a bit larger than Münster. Dresden has also been very good at making choices.
Mm-hmm.
And that requires also, let's say, an environment in which making choices is strengthened. So with so that politicians don't see, yeah, but you forget me, I'm also there. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you do that, you are better off if you go to Essen.
Yes, that's a good one. So making strong decisions.
Yeah, and that's quite important because I understood that Nordrhein-Westfalen is building up a system of hubs around startups.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important that these hubs also specialize.
Mm-hmm.
And also cooperate together. So, okay, if you do this,
yes.
For example, in this Eastern Netherlands, Twente is very strong in technology, in high-tech technology, photonics, for example, and not in food. In food, you go to Wageningen, it's 80 kilometers.
Mm-hmm. I'm a nutritional scientist, so I used to work as one before I became a startup coach. So I heard Wageningen also when studying itself. So they have the knowledge that's needed. So and every different city and university does, right? So choosing specifically where you start and where you get your information and your network.
Yeah. And as an anecdote, I was with the German ambassador in Wageningen once.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked, why are you going to study and start your company here? Because you can also go to Bonn and Stuttgart, which are good universities. And but here you learn to set up a company. And here you need to... You learn to work with methods that companies use because Unilever's on the campus, Friesland Campina's on the campus. So that's also an important element of ecosystems, is having ecosystems in which big companies are present as well, as test grounds, as locations, as possibly acquirers, and that they buy up the startups.
Yeah, various partners that are important for the startup journey. Yeah, I would agree. Cool.
And most cities type Münster have the conditions to build up that.
But why, where could we improve, for example, as city of Münster or ecosystem?
That's hard to say. I mean, what that's...
Very specific, I know.
That's hard to say. What I see, let's say, in the successful clusters come out of a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a crisis and you feel the weakness, then you feel also what you should do to be strong. And Twente is a good example. Twente was the textile region and I'm from a textile family.
Mm-hmm.
We had a massive crisis in the 1960s and 70s. The university was born as an alternative growth model. And the region and the university invested heavily in promoting an alternative growth model. Because the region was dying, people were leaving, the youth was not staying here. Eindhoven is a bit the same. Eindhoven was hit by a dramatic reduction of employment at Philips, the bankruptcy of DAF making trucks. So there was all kind of, okay, we are losing our economy.
Mm.
And that helps. And so often these crisis cities have more potential to regenerate than those cities where there's a big legal sector, there's a provincial capital, so there's a big university hospital, there's no risk. And Münster has also a textile history, so could use this crisis and transformation logic, but Westfalen has also a bit, let's say, a slightly conservative agricultural background. So, everything goes well, why should we?
Because it always did.
We always did. Well. Yeah. And that's, let's say, that's the kind of, let's say, self-confident attitude is not really helping, let's say, either Gründungskultur and not also, let's say, feeling of we have to prioritize, choose, be sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's also in contrast. I mean, Dresden has this kind of, also kind of crisis. So.
Yeah. As we are slowly heading to the end of the podcast, I would offer you the great chance to do some promotion on public funding, maybe, because some of all startups are struggling getting into the vibe of public funding because there are many things that need to be accepted when applying for public funding. So maybe you want to use the chance to promote public funding because I, in my opinion, think it's a great chance for startup, especially early stage startup, incubation startup. So maybe you can find better words.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, public funding is often at three levels. It's either In Germany, it would be typically at the lender level. Most funding instruments are at the regional lender level, so Nordrhein-Westfalen. You have national instruments and you have European instruments. Generally, they scale in size. So the more you go to Europe, the larger they are. Mm-hmm. So basically, to be very blunt to the starters, we, as Europe, we don't have grants below 700,000-800,000 euros. So we come either because you have identified directly the need of such tickets, and not 800, but rather 2.5 million in grants and up to 15 million in equity. So either you have identified immediately, well, whatever we are going to do, it's going to be expensive. We need those kind of tickets. Or you have tested, let's say, locally with smaller grants, and you have to go to the next step, the big ones. And then we come into play. And why do we come into play? Because often in a region or in a country, you don't have enough critical mass. So the regions are afraid of picking up big tickets because you might make a mistake. You don't have enough comparisons to states. We have a huge comparison database. We get more than 3,000 applications a year. We fund about 300 to 400 a year. So we have we can mobilize evaluators, coaches at the European level. So the main instrument for scale-ups is the accelerator. And the accelerator provides up to 2.5 million euro grants, non-diluted, and up to 15 million euros in equity. So the European Commission becomes a shareholder. The European Union becomes a shareholder of the startup or scale-up. And that also brings other things that, let's say, we bring patients. So we allow to remain 5 to 10 years in the company. So we give stability, a long-term perspective, especially in markets that have a long-term perspective. And the energy market is not a fast market. The medical market is not a fast market. Materials require perseverance. So we are not there for all the scale-ups. If people say, I need money in 2-3 months because next year this, we're not agile enough for that. We will never be agile for that, simply because of the number of applicants we get. But we are a very good testing ground for those startups that have a very thorough problem that will last for long, that requires thorough solutions. And when the solutions are there, they're also, let's say, they have a long phase of, let's say, rolling out. So we are patient and thorough. That's very German, I think.
Sounds familiar. Yeah. Okay, so you mastered our entry question, and we traditionally close with the following question. What is the most important thing you have learned from your general work experience, and how has it changed you?
For me, the most fundamental one, and for my daughters as well, make clear choices and stick to them, but in a flexible way. And so have a strategy for your life and be open to adjust your strategy, but not change it.
Very good one to close. Yeah. Thank you very much. We'll keep that
you're
in
welcome.
Mind.
Yeah, all right. Welcome.
Thank you very much for being here today, for being a guest at the podcast studio at Slushed 2023. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this podcast session today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Reach from science to startup.